As we get to celebrate and experience Palm Sunday, let's enjoy the whole premise behind Palm Sunday of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. The crowds were excited, but we know this week changes a lot. So as we go through today's message, it's not going to be quite the Palm Sunday that you've heard before, but it may be a little more preparing through this week. So I would invite you to join me in prayer as we begin. Most kind and loving and wonderful Father God, Son, and Spirit, thank you for our lives. Thank you for reaching into our lives to give us that special time with you, that special experience of Jesus living in us and the Spirit working in us that we can be drawn to you. And God, as we go through this message, I pray that it is yours, that you say the words you want, that we would hear and understand individually what you have prepared for us. And God, I just lift this up to you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title is Self-Emptying. And you may go, I wonder what that means. Well, listen, we're going to go through it a little bit. Today, we're going to study what was probably an early Christian hymn found in Philippians 2. We're going to begin in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What he's starting out with right there is we should have the same mind as Jesus. And I have to tell you, that doesn't happen every day, or it doesn't happen all day. But that's what our goal is. That's what Jesus is saying in this portion of Philippians. To have the same mind as Jesus. Paul's desire is that the believers in Philippi are unified, standing firm in one spirit. And you can read that in Philippians 1 and verse 27. That desire that Paul has that he talks about, it applies to us too. That we all stand firm in that one spirit. Unity doesn't mean there won't be differences of opinion. Think about that a little bit. It is possible to disagree with another's opinion and hold that tension in love without attempting to persuade, manipulate, or change another's mind. Now, contrary to what you probably would experience in a day-to-day world today, especially if you're on social media, do you see what he's talking about happening? No. It's my way, and if it's not my way, you're wrong. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying you can have a difference of opinion. Allow it to have its space. Melody Stanford Martin asked an important question in Psychology Today in the magazine. What would happen if instead of trying to change or control each other, we focus on seeing and understanding each other? When we suspend our need to convert or persuade someone, we make space to learn. It's in this space of learning that love exists. So think about that space of, I don't have to change you. I don't have to control you. I can let you have your opinion. And it's up to them whether they'll let you keep yours, but that's not under your control. But it's also in that space that love can exist. Suspending our desire to change or control others requires a big dose of humility. when you come in all bravado, you don't get a lot of success. Usually things are turned upside down and there's opposition. But a big dose of humility will go a long way. It starts with kenosis. Kenosis is a Greek word that means self-emptying, the title of today's message. Kenosis, or self-emptying, is the way the Father, Son, and Spirit live. The Father holds nothing back, but empties into Jesus. Jesus then empties into the Spirit, and the Spirit empties back into the Father, not withholding anything. It is complete unity. In verse 6 of Philippians 2 that we were started in, who though he was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. We can see the self-emptying attitude in Jesus, his willingness to let go of meeting others' expectations, cultural norms, and his gift of loving people where they are without judgment. And if you read in the Gospels specifically of Jesus's life, this is what he did. He was very self-emptying. He didn't put expectations on people. He didn't allow cultural norms to dictate how he dealt with things. But he always loved people. He always reached out. And in most cases, it was the marginalized, the ones that didn't have a lot going their way to begin with. But there was Jesus sharing without any judgment on them. Verse 7, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Everything Jesus did came from his self-emptying mindset. Think of the things that he did. He became human. This is God. Jesus Christ, the glorious creator of the world, stepping out of that environment to be a human being. That's a pretty big step down, but it was part of that self-emptying mindset. He descended, chose humility, and emptied himself of any rights or privileges. He wasn't born as we look at the royalty of this world, the kings and queens and the royal families. There's a big deal, part of the hierarchy. But as the prince in England, his children coming up, they're born into rights and privileges. Jesus could have had all of that, but he didn't. He came and became a baby without all of that privilege. He allowed himself to bear the hatred of the world by dying on a cross. I hope this week you go back and you read about the events of this week. We'll talk about it some next week on Friday, on our Good Friday service that is on Zoom this year. But we'll also talk about it on Easter Sunday. But the thing that he did, he allowed no rights, no privileges. It was for all of us. And being found in human form, in verse 8, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And I've always thought to myself, he came at a time when crucifixion was the form of death, one of the most degrading, dehumanizing, awful forms. And that's when he chose to live, to be on this earth. He didn't come when lethal injection was the way that you went out. He gave everything, even death on a cross. Humans are put off by the idea of emptying themselves. We don't like to do that. Jesus' teachings tell us that the way to winning is by losing. And that goes against cultural rules and expectations. And you will have a lot of people tell you that that doesn't work. But Jesus talks about to win is to lose. You serve other people. And that doesn't fly very well in today's society. Why does kenosis, having the mind of Christ, work? It meets our deepest needs. Emptying ourselves of our egotistic tendencies to be important, right, or perfect makes space for God in us. If we can let go of, it doesn't have to be my way. It doesn't have to be my plan. That lets God enter into the picture. That allows that space that God can work in us. It's not about us. It's about Him. Our hearts long for deep communion and being at one with God. And a lot of this, you really, okay, I read that. Yeah, that's true. But living it, embracing it, giving up our own notions of rightness and perfection becomes an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God. Which is more important, for you to be right and perfect, or to have space that the Holy Spirit is moving in your life? As humans, we gravitate to the first one. We want to be right. We want people to appreciate who we are. That doesn't always end well. It's the path of transformation. That's a place to begin. We are moving away from that world. In verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. By letting go, emptying ourselves of the weight that hold us hostage, we can find our truest selves, grounded in the steadfast, infinite love of God. And it is so hard to let go, to empty ourselves of what we've always been, what we've grown up with. That's who we are. My identity is in this. Let it go. So that infinite love of God is what is in your life. Kenosis does not come naturally to us. Self-emptying is not something that you get up in the morning and go, today's the day, I'm going to self-empty all day. No. But life presents opportunities for letting go. Often through experiences of great love or great suffering. It's usually those high situations or low that self-emptying does come out, that you reach a point of, I need to change. Here are some practices we can incorporate to make us aware of habitual thoughts and feelings that keep us stuck. And I'm giving these to you in hopes that this week you can set aside time to do what we're going to talk about, to make it personal. Contemplative or centering prayer. This incorporates silence and a focus on a chosen word or phrase that communicates your intention or consent to God's presence. When you notice your mind becoming distracted, you return to a chosen word or phrase. This draws you back to that point where you begin. And I will tell you, setting in silence is hard, because that's the next one, is silence. How long before it becomes uncomfortable? Somebody say something. We can't, we have to fill this spot. We can't be quiet. Silence allows you to focus on your breath and an openness to God's nearness. One of the things that plays into this, can you find a 2-hour block in your week? 2 hours. Maybe it means you don't watch a TV show. Maybe it means you get up earlier, or maybe it's just reoriented, but you find 2 hours that you can have that's uninterrupted. And in that time, allow silence to be the leading part of that. Now, I will tell you, I've tried this numerous times, and I find when I sit down or I get silent and I'm really in tuned and I'm listening and I'm thinking, and then I wake up. When I shut down to that silent, my mind says, rest, go to sleep. And I can be struggling with that and it's still there, but sooner or later, I'm going to make it. But it's not me making it, is God working in me. But I have to tell you, silence, one of the hardest things has been even in driving. Don't turn on the radio. Don't turn on a podcast. Just drive in silence. That's awful. That's hard. But if I'm trying to listen to my breath or an openness to God, because he is near, it can and will happen. Different ones that have been successful at this, that it's usually at the 20-minute mark before they hear anything or get any thoughts. And I'm going, I'm already asleep by then. No wonder. But that's the premise, is allowing God to live in that silence. Lectio Divina, divine reading. And this is another practice, and I hope that this week you can find time for this. This refers to a close reading of scriptures to notice what God might be saying to you. A careful listening to what God wants us to know about ourselves and our relationship with God, not about anybody else. It's about you. So if you can find that 2-hour block, this is a great place to interject reading scriptures. The basic steps of Lectio Divina, divine reading. Read the passage slowly, out loud if possible. So if you've got a section of scriptures that you have prayed about and selected, and you are in that quiet space, no one's around, read it out loud. God likes to hear from us, and reading his scriptures is it going to change if you read it out loud? That's between you and them. I don't know. But think about reading it out loud. Identify a word or phrase that catches your attention. Hang on to that. Read the passage again, slowly, perhaps from another translation. And it's really interesting, when you change a translation, you may pick up something totally different than you did the first time. Identify how the passage or the word phrase relates to your life right now and what feelings have arisen in your heart. And I would dare say one of the feelings that will rise in your heart is, I'm into this 10 minutes, God. I haven't heard anything. What's going on? Let's move. I got things to do. What's more important than time with God? Just saying. Read the passage again and ask God, what are you saying to me? What in this section have you picked for me? And then the last one is the toughest one for me. I mean, I can fight through sleep, staying awake, journal, or sit quietly with what comes up. I absolutely hate to journal. My wife does it quite well. I know others do it quite well. I'll sit quietly with what comes up. Everybody's different, and I'm sure at some point God will get me to journal. It's just, I fight it. It's a struggle. But I see the validity of doing this. And as you think about this Holy Week, as it's referred to, from Palm Sunday through Thursday's event to Friday's events to Silent Saturday's events next week to Sunday's events, I hope you can find 2 hours to go through and think about the magnitude of this week and what God might want you to hear from Him. Allow that time to come in. And if you fall asleep, you fall asleep. But you can't count sleeping as 2 hour blocks. Or maybe you can. It's your 2 hours with God. That's however it works. It's a tough situation, but this divine reading is an excellent thing, especially this week. I think as we look forward to the resurrection of Jesus, think of what Jesus was going through this week, from entering into Jerusalem triumphant, people excited, shouting, yay, to hearing, crucify him, crucify him, to Jesus being in the garden and saying, Father, if there's any other way, can you take this cup away? But it's not my will, what you will, God. To being on the cross and looking down and seeing John and his mother and Mary Magdalene. As he's stripped naked, as he's beaten to a pulp, to his passing, to Mary and another coming to the tomb to find it's empty on Sunday morning. What week in all of history has had more things packed into it since actually the recreation of the earth? But from a human standpoint, the impact of this week, I hope you find 2 hours that you can block out, that you can find that space. As we close, a poem written by Pastor Steve Holmes from the Unfolding Light website. Jesus, your deepest humility and self-emptying is not of rank or status or even suffering, but of love. Your greatest miracle is this, that you love the people who are impossible to love. My chief, my beloved, here is my salvation and my calling. I love you and entrust myself to you. May your heart be in me, that with all my life I may thank you, I may worship you, and I may follow you. Hopefully, you can find 2 hours for a God who loves you so much that not only does he support and be with you, but he paid the price that you have eternity with him. Some thoughts on communion. Jesus left the glories of heaven. What kind of love was required to move one to leave a place of perfection and come to this world, especially when he knew the suffering he would face? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. From 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. See him as he was, exceedingly sorrowful at Gethsemane. Appreciate the agony as he prayed the cup would pass from him, but insisted that he would carry through with the Father's will so that we might be saved. Matthew 26, 36 through 44. Imagine the pain and disappointment as Judas betrayed him. The other disciples forsook him and flee. And Peter denies him three times that he even knows who Jesus is. Matthew 26. This week, as you go through some thoughts of this week, go with Jesus as he is mocked, blindfolded, spat on, and slapped, all for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53. All these thoughts are deserving of consideration during the Lord's Supper, but there is more. Celebrating the victory Jesus has gained for all of us, accept his grace. The elements at this table represent his sacrifice for us, but it doesn't end there. Rejoice in the fact that while in heaven, Jesus serves as a sympathizer mediator, knowing the struggles that you face. From Hebrews 4. Allow the Lord's Supper to remind you that he is coming again to deliver his people and allow them to live with him forever. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. From 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And in John 3:16, I think everyone should remember this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So as you come to this table, recognize the events that brought us to his broken body and his shed blood. But also recognize that he is alive and he loves each one of us more than we have a clue. And he has a place for us. In my house are many places, and I have one. Think about that. Invite you to join me in prayer. Father God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, thank you for this reminder that we can look to Jesus and know that he willingly gave everything. And you, the Father, watched and accepted this gift. And because of that, we have life with you. I do ask that you would bless the elements, the bread, the fruit of the vine, the gift of Jesus. And God, be with each one as we go through the communion experience, but God, be with us this week that we can spend some time with you in, for many, an abnormal way. I know it's not the easiest, but God, I look to you to work with each one, and I praise you and thank you for this communion meal and for your absolute love for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Experience communion today.
Our Father, thank you for our service today. I hope that each of us has heard something today that sticks with us, that encourages us, and brings us close to you. Jesus, we look forward to the time you will be the King, ruling over all the earth. Thank you for your sacrifice that allows our sins to be forgotten. And may we all be together next week as we meet to celebrate your wonderful sacrifice of love for us and your resurrection and victory over death. We look forward to next week's celebration. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then finally, from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.